You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on January 13th, 2020, and is titled, The Assembly. Grab your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter 2, and let's join Steve in the message.
Seem like I'm always running way early until right at the last minute, and then I'm running way late. Man, it's good to have everybody tonight. We got a nice group in here tonight, and looks like they're still trickling in. We're going to have a couple songs again tonight like we did last week. I kind of enjoy that. It gives everybody a chance to settle in. And when Micah can be back, we'll do more than that, and then we'll get in the Word. Tonight, we're going to begin the first phases of a strategy that God's given us to move forward. You know, we've got a lot going on in the political realm. A lot of things people are praying for and believing for. A lot of us still standing believing for certain things. Every day it looks less and less possible. So with God, nothing's impossible. I don't know to what level of impossibility it's got to get to before God really shows up and does his thing. But I'm just patiently waiting. But in the meantime, there's some things that we have not done that got us here. This isn't about what we've done that got us here. What we have not done for several decades now, what we have not done got us to this place. And I'm not talking about the executive office. I'm talking about handing the reins of the United States of America over to the sons and daughters of Lucifer. I'm talking about people who are full well intent putting the bullseye on your back because you're a Christian American. They're going to want your Second Amendment rights because that's the only protection mechanism you have to protect your First Amendment rights. What we're doing right here tonight, the right to assemble. So tonight we'll start the process through the Bible of the importance of assembly and how that works. Those of you this week, how many of you either heard or experienced something going on social media, that shutdowns where you weren't able to communicate, your lines of communication seem to be diminishing or be controlled by a higher power. And so the assembly becomes more and more important. When you go back to the history of our country, if it were not for the assembly, things would have never come to fruition. What a great way to communicate as a community, as an area. You see, we've got New Mexicans and we've got Texans. We got anybody from Oklahoma here? I believe when we start getting people from Oklahoma, that's the start of the revival. No, not really. I'm just joking. I got people from Oklahoma watching tonight. But we've talked about it a lot. We've been going over there and meeting a lot of people, and this isn't about Texas. This isn't about New Mexico. We're Americans. We're Americans with a Constitution that belongs to us, a Bill of Rights that belongs to us, a Declaration of Independence that was declared over us in this land that we've lost a little touch with. So in all the things we got going on, we have God-given strategies. They've been throughout the Bible. And again, a lot of the strategies, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. But when you go back and you study history and you study the Bible, you see where God and humans work together in a lot more difficult situations than we've got right now. We're not suffering yet. We might get the chance. That's where all the great revivals came out of. Good. We're going to get some suffering. How y'all liking church so far? Yeah, so there's a lot to talk about and a lot to do. One of the things that I wanted to reiterate to you, I wanted to reiterate to you the importance of this assembly. I'm not building a ministry and I'm not building a church, but I'm telling you, you'll get relevant information right here every week. If they turn that thing off up there one of these days, you're going to have to just get here. And we're going to assemble. And the only way we're not going to assemble is they drag me out of here heels first. That's how that's going to work. I've already made up my mind. Don't care. You don't get my guns, and you don't get to tell me not to assemble. I'm an American. So, some things to me are more important than money. Some things to me are even more important than life. So, that's where we're at. The only way I know to lead is by example. You can't tell everybody else to stand on the front porch and fight them off while you go hide out in the closet. See, I love that part because John 10 says that the hirelings jump the fence and run off. Keep your eye on who's jumping the fence. You had all but about 10 in the Republican Party in America. Yeah. That's in Congress. Don't even try it in church. I don't know what the odds are there. Yeah, so we got a lot to talk about, and we got a lot to do. We're very thankful for every human being that walks in them doors, every human being that tunes in. Because without community, without the assembly, without a love and a care for the Lord Jesus Christ and each other, we won't survive this. It all happens right here. And I don't care if it's in five counties. I don't care what the size of the community is. Let me give you one more example here before I pray and we sing a little bit, because I just want to encourage you today. How many of y'all have heard murmurings about martial law this week? How many of y'all even know what that is? Some of you think you do. Some of you may. How many of y'all know there's a lot of different levels of that? Hadn't been instigated since 1807. Probably not going to happen. If it happens, it'll have to be by the President of the United States, not the President-elect. The President of the United States, as of this very moment, whether Congress impeaches him another 100 times, doesn't matter. It doesn't go on your resume. So, that being said, he's on our side. So he's not going to command a martial law that shuts down the whole United States of America. No airwaves, no nothing, no blah, blah, blah. People out here in the country probably wouldn't even know what happened if it happens. If he institutes martial law, let me tell you, it's the best news of the day, because now he's going to round up the bad guys. So we're going to stop interstate commerce for a minute, maybe a little flying in and out. No out of country, no international travel, anything like that for a minute until we get the bad guys rounded up. Not going to cut off your water source. He's not going to cut off your electricity. So all the panic peddlers that are trying to sell you something to get ready for the big disaster, you tell them, just, I'm going to keep my money. Thank you very much. I'll be fine for a minute. Let me tell you the one thing that will help you survive no matter what level it happens and no matter when it happens or if it happens. Community. When whatever happens and a community comes together, no matter. Because I was talking to my buddy, my partner down there in Louisiana. We were talking about this the other day, and he said, bring it on. We're ready. We've had three hurricanes already this year. We already know how to live without water and electricity. We know how to share generators. We know how to find gasoline where there is no gasoline. He said, bring it on. We're ready. Because they have community. But when a community has an assembly, and the ideas, precepts, principles, and ordinances of God begin to invade the community because of the assembly. When we leave the assembly and our neighbor's needs are higher than our own, and when God is first and foremost in everything we do, the landscape changes. The armies of God begin to surround you against the enemies of God's people. Provision seems to just appear. More than that, strength, comfort, hope, encouragement, everything you need to get up and kick it again one more day when everything's kicking against you comes right out of the assembly. That's our purpose. If you assemble without purpose, you should just stay home. There's no reason to be here. That's my little, what do they call that on them top monologue. Yeah, that's my monologue for tonight. All them famous people do monologues. That's my monologue for tonight. So let's pray right quick and we'll sing a couple songs. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight and I just want to bless you. Lord, we're just going to sing a little bit here and just enter into your presence and kind of let the stuff of the day drip off from us for a minute where we're ready to receive. Receive instruction from you, Father, and receive word that will help us in the days to come. Lord, we continue to pray for our nation. But we can, more than that, we continue to pray for our own kitchen tables. And God, that we'll align ourselves with you right at our house. Use this assembly, Jesus, to help that happen. Use your servant to just be a messenger of your kingdom. Lord, we just want to tell you tonight, we love you. We're glad we're here. We're glad you're here. We got ears to hear, so we're full well expecting you to speak. We give you all the glory tonight, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all can worship however you want to. You stand up, sit down, pray. If you need to come to the altar during this time, you make yourself at home now. Not only have I known Jesus, but I've known that he knows me. So we communicate. Through our communication, I don't get to boss him around much. I mean, I don't get to tell him everything. Everything I want him to do, he doesn't just do. I could give you some real good examples of that in the House of Representatives, but I'm not going to do that today. I have made some prior requests that have not been fulfilled. But the nice thing about it, no matter what you're going through, it's nice to know Jesus loves us. He knows us. And we find our peace in that. That only comes through reality. So tonight, as we get ready to share a little bit and things, and I'm going to always offer an opportunity from here on out, be sure that you know him. Be sure that you're born again. Be sure that you know the Spirit of God dwells within you. Know that you've been given all the fullness of the kingdom of God. You've just only realized as much as you can handle for a moment, but nothing's been withheld. You're not waiting to show yourself approved to receive something else from God if you've surrendered your life to the Lord. Best news of the day. Doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter to a lot of us, but what matters to us here in this earth, and governments and social activities, civic duties, is all superseded by one government that is ruled by Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father with the judgment, rod of judgment in his right hand, who watches over all things, knows all things, rules in all things, and is providential in all things. And the Bible says that we've been seated there with him. If you hadn't found your seat, find it. Find it. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we've been seated. I want to talk to you a minute about a couple things here. You know, it's first of the year. We always kind of give a little rundown of some of the things we've had. I've got one announcement that I've got to make ahead of time here. Some of you may have looked up here and saw my bottle of water, and then you saw a baby bottle. And you probably wondered, well, the old Reverend's lost it now. He's going to fall into the fetal position any moment and go to sucking on that baby bottle. No, we've got an entity in our community. It's in Bovina now, but it's called Created with a Purpose. And very near and dear to us, you'll see when I go through some of these financials right quick that we've participated in that. You have participated in that quite a bit. Before I tell you what this is about, I want to tell you something that you need to know and you need to hold on to real good. My wife and I have driven around this United States of America now for the last 48 months. We've been given everybody that we've been given their ear, we have been faithful to share that God had a strategy to remove the curse on American soil of 60 million innocent lives whose body parts have been placed in our land some way, shape, or form. There's a curse that's been going on since 1973 when a liberal court made a decision that it was okay to take an innocent life, that it had no value. Since 1973, we've had this atrocity has been going on in our land, and the church has fairly well remained silent. We've protested. We've done some things. We've banned people from going places, and we've talked about things. We've had a lot of talking points and a lot of debates, and it hadn't done any good. There was a strategy there that was in place, and if something miraculous doesn't happen the next 9 days, we blew it. The Supreme Court was set. We were given a gift with Amy Barrett right at the 11th hour. We are now 5-4. It should have been 6-3, but John Roberts is a turncoat that's sorrier than a mud fence itself. He's your Chief Justice. See, I don't have any trouble with the son of Lucifer because I already know who you are. Gosh, I have a hard time with Judases. Jesus handled them really well. I have a hard time. John Roberts is a Judas. Anyhow, to move on down the road. All your Supreme Court justices are picked lifetime appointments by the executive branch. We had a commander-in-chief that in 48 months put over 300 constitutional originalists on your lower courts. Originality is the key to everything. It's the key to the church. If the church doesn't come back to original intent of the Bible, then we will never find the foundations of the kingdom of God. He set the court, and then he put three more on the Supreme Court, and we were set. Roe versus Wade has never been the law of the land. It was never handed down through your legislative branch. All laws come from the legislative branch. You need to remember that, because that's the only thing that's addressed in your First Amendment rights of assembly, is that Congress shall make no law prohibiting your assembly. Doesn't address a church or a school or anything else, that one entity that makes all laws. So at any given moment in time, if challenged again in the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade could have very well been reversed. Now that we've decided to maybe have a different commander-in-chief, the opportunities in the Supreme Court are diminishing fast. You're pretty certain that they're going to want to pack the court. Pack the court means we're going to get it lopsided. That's what it means. We're going to change the number of people on the playing field. It's like going to a six-man football game, some little old school in Texas, and showing up with 9 guys or 11 guys and say, you know what, you only got 6, but we're going to play with 11. That's exactly what that means. We were almost there to rid this land. To rid this land, to actually do what it said, if my people called by my name will turn from their wicked ways. We were almost there where this land could turn from their wicked ways. Yet everybody just kind of looked at me like I had like a calf with his head under a gate. So, that being said, let me tell you about our community. Maybe I don't have enough pull in Washington or Austin or anywhere else. Right here where we live, there's some little old gals that got a fire in their belly and stepped out to do the impossible. Annual budgets that's more than all of them make together. Trust God for buildings and facilities and everything else. So that when a little mama's trying to decide what she's going to do next, when some little mama has done woke up one morning and realized that Prince Charming is turned back into a frog, and they don't know what to do next. Or when a young couple wakes up one morning and now they're a family and they don't know exactly how they're going to pull it off. When all the deacons around them want to point their finger at them and tell them what a bunch of dummies they was and they shouldn't have blah, 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 blah. There's a group of people now, and there's a facility in Bovina, Texas that was instigated by God. It was breathed into the minds and hearts of a couple, 3 or 4 young ladies that just stepped out and said, we're going to do this no matter what. and it's open. And they've got a person to run it. I don't know what to call it, but her, I talked to her the other day, seemed really neat. She asked me, she said, y'all have really helped out. We're doing a little fundraiser thing, and we're handing out baby bottles in the churches. She said, how many do you want? I said, I'll bring me a tub full of them. We run out, we'll get some more, because I'm expecting on running out. Because I know our people, and our people are intentional, and our people are generous. So what they've asked is you take one of these baby bottles, got some of these little pamphlet things right here. These little pamphlet things. Read that. I mean, they've done a really nice job of putting stuff together. Know what's going on in your community, in our area right here. We have options because we're pro-life, because God's pro-life. We have options. Not only will that bless families down the road, but God will bless that. This is obedience to God. So we don't do offerings around here. 18 years, we've never took up a special offering for somebody or something. We don't do that. We don't have to. We get up every week in the most generous group of people on the planet. But this time when she called the other day, I said, you know what? I think this gives every man, woman, and child. See, I preach for free so we can give money away. But this is my baby bottle. I'm fixing to fill that sucker up. Because you know what giving an offering is? Not to some religious institution that pays a pension fund for somebody that ain't hit a lick since Moby Dick was a minna. It's about actually doing something to preserve life that God breathed in that brought mankind to fruition, life. Standing for a nation that whose Declaration of Independence promises life. And I want to be in on it. I want to give an offering to God by saving a life. They probably should have recorded this speech, because I doubt every church in town is going to give it just like this. Won't you give your offering to an organization that put a lid on the end of the pipe? Do something for the Lord. Do something for life. God will bless it. God's been telling us forever, you don't believe in abortion? Put your money where your mouth is. Because I know some little old skinny girls who just prayed and cried and did it. Just did it. And I couldn't be prouder of them. Couldn't be prouder to be a part of something. So there's a bucket of baby bottles. If we run out, I'll get you some more. Take a baby bottle. Whatever God lays on your heart to help out a little, bring your baby bottle back and I'll get it to the right place. And that's all I got to say about that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, because this will go with the message. Just because they puts it up in other places of the world, and they puts it up in other places in the United States of America, just because they puts it up there in the White House, just because your elected officials puts it up, that doesn't mean that God is going to curse the whole darn bunch of us. There's some of us that said, okay, we got options. We're going to do it right here at home. We're going to do it right here in our community. We're going to do it right here. We're going to bless you, God, and we're going to take care of your business right here. So that's what y'all been doing. When we get through our little year-end report, I just want to tell you, one of the things about you people are very generous. For those of you that don't know, if you've been coming and wondering if we do offerings or anything, we never say nothing about it. There's a little old brown bucket back there that's not ever been mentioned. People just feel like putting stuff in it. We don't beg for money, don't ask for it. Other than a couple of people that might need it, there's nobody around here on the payroll. Y'all have been very generous to Robin and I. over the years and this year, very generous in how you bless us. And we've finally learned how to accept a blessing. That took a while to figure that out. And we've kind of learned how to do that without causing too much of a ruckus. But y'all are very generous. You gave $305,000 this little fellowship this year. A lot of money comes in this little fellowship from all over the United States of America. Maybe even some from other places. Because of the internet, and we got coffee with the Colonel now. We touch a lot of people and do a lot of things. So a lot of money comes in. We don't keep it and we don't pile it up.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Assembly. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.